Անդոր Եղոտկո Եղո Գույնսը Քո Ամեն. In today's gospel reading, we hear of the story of Christ walking on water. And we hear it in today's gospel, which is the Gospel of John. But the Gospel of Matthew also tells the story, but with a little bit more detail. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear that Peter sees Christ walking on the water, and he calls out to the Lord, and he says, "Lord, if it's you, call to me, and I will also walk on the water." And Christ says, "Come." And Peter walks on the water. And he's walking, literally, on the Sea of Galilee until, the gospel says, he notices all of the wind and the storm around him. And at that moment, he starts to sink into the water. And he calls out to the Lord and he says, "Lord, save me." And at that moment, Christ extends his hand, saves him, calms the storm, and everything is good. It is so important that we focus on the things that are important in life and not be distracted by the storms that are around us. There's a story in a village, probably in Armenia, but in a village, where theft is constantly taking place. Somebody is constantly stealing something from a warehouse that is in a lumber yard. And so they decide to put a watch guard there. And the watch guard stands there all night. And one night, this guy knows everybody in town. So he'll know who's stealing what. And so one night he gets there, and as he's there around midnight, a man enters into the lumber yard to steal something. And this is Jimmy Hoggle. And Hoggle is there, and he sees Hoggle coming out of the warehouse with a wheelbarrow and a huge sack in that wheelbarrow. And so the guard asks, "What's in the sack? What are you stealing?" And he says, "Nothing. It's nothing, really." He says, no, I want to see what's in the sack." And he says, "It's just sawdust. Just please, don't. I wasn't born yesterday. I know there's no sawdust in there." So he pours it out, and it's a whole bunch of sawdust. And the guard gets upset. He says, "Look, go. Get out of here. I don't want to see you again." The next night he comes back, again, with a wheelbarrow coming out of the warehouse with a sack in his wheelbarrow, and the guard says, "What are you stealing?" He says, "It's just sawdust. I'm not stealing anything." And he goes, "Let me see," and he pours the sawdust out. He goes, "Again, why are you doing this? Get out of here. Go. Don't come back." This goes on for about 2 or 3 weeks. Every night he's coming out with a wheelbarrow and a bag of sawdust. So finally, the guard has had it up to here, and he can't figure out what he's stealing. And he says to him, "Just tell me what you're stealing, and I won't arrest you, I won't do anything, I just need to know what's going on. What are you stealing every night that you come here?" He says, "I'm stealing wheelbarrows every night." The reality is we cannot be distracted on what we think is going on, but rather we have to really focus on what is happening in our lives. Just as the guard was focusing on what was in the wheelbarrow and not the wheelbarrows that were being stolen. A recent study has come out, a couple of years, and it says that people, every minute, are distracted 6 to 10 times. Every minute we're distracted 6 to 10 times. That means during the Bhagavad Gita alone, we are distracted anywhere from 720 times to 1,200 times. And just during my sermon, you have probably been distracted 60 to 100 times. We are distracted constantly with things that are going on. And it is very hard, I understand, to focus during the Bhagavad Gita because we have so many things in our lives. It's hard to leave the world out there and come into here because we bring it with us. This is why the church fathers have decided for centuries that we're going to use things to help us be more focused. This is why we have incense. This is why we have music and hugging and kissing, icons, vestments, Holy Communion, candles, and the kushos. Right? You may call it the ching-chings, but the kushos. We have all these things not to distract us, but to make us focus more, to make us focus on what is going on. It helps us because we then focus on Christ, and not all the worries and fears we have in our lives. This is why, if you notice during the Chazara, every time the priest turns around and says, Chavamtun Amenetsun, there's something new starting. There's something that's about to happen. It's a way of waking people up and saying, listen, I know you're distracted, I know there's things going on, but pay attention, there's something happening there. This is why the deacon, also right before the gospel, uses the word porosfumet, which is a Greek word. It's not Armenian at all, at all. It's a Greek word which means attention, be attentive, pay attention because of what's going to happen. Yet, we have our daily lives, and we are constantly worried. We are drowning so often in our worries and the fears of what goes on in life. How many times have we stayed up until late, midnight, or maybe even woken up in the middle of the night, thinking about what's going to happen, about what is going on in the world, what's going on in our lives? And this can be anything from bills, debt, health, family, work, traveling, politics, and disease, just to name a few, where we're constantly thinking of these things and we're not focusing on the love and the comfort and the hope that Christ has promised us. As he's walking to us to give it to us, we notice the storm, like Peter, around us, and we start to sink into it. And it is then that we need to call out and say, Lord, save me, and he will come and save us. The question then is, how do we focus on Christ outside of the church? In the church, we have all these things, as I said. We have icons, vestments, and all these incense, and kurvas, and kushos. How do we do it when we go out into the real world? How do we do this when we're in the stores that we walk through? As I said, it would be very strange to see someone walking through Sprouts with a kushos, walking up and down the aisles, or a kurvas, walking up and down the aisles of a convenience store. It just won't work. So what can we do outside of the church? The first thing is prayer. Personal and communal. It's not just praying in our rooms at night. That's great, but it's also coming together as the body of Christ. It is at this time that our souls unite, not just with each other, but also with the souls of the departed. We become one church, one being, one body. This is what we must do. We must then focus on Christ in our prayers. The second thing, which we don't like, or at least I don't like, is fasting. And this is not just fasting from food. Being able to say to something, I've had enough of you. We sometimes say this to people too, but that's a whole other issue. I've had enough of you, hamburger. I'm done. I'm not going to eat all of it. I'm done with you. This happens. And this is not just with food. As I said, this is also with our phones and social media and many other things. As I mentioned, and I shouldn't have said it, but I said it anyway, I'm going to say it again. There is an individual in our parish. An individual in our parish who mentioned that his brother's screen time is 11 hours a day. And I'm not saying that to put him down at all. I'm also guilty of that at times, and sometimes more. Unfortunately. But the fact that we can say, I'm done with the phone. I need to take a break from it. I need to take a break from Instagram or TikTok or whatever else is out there, Snapchat and give on. To say, I'm done with this and I'm only going to focus on other things, on Christ in particular. This next week is called the Feast of the Catechumens. Ara Shavuot Bah. The Feast of the Catechumens. And this was a feast that is placed into our calendar by the Church Fathers to prepare us for Great Lent in a couple of weeks. It is for the catechumen, means someone who is learning the faith. And the idea was, especially in the ancient world, a newbie to the faith would not be able to fast like we're supposed to. So we have to give them a test run. And that's what this next week is. It's 5 days, and it's during this time that we prepare ourselves and remind ourselves what fasting is when we come to Great Lent, so that we don't fail, so that we don't drown in it. And the third way, after prayer and fasting, that we can focus on Christ outside of this world is what we say, mercy, or giving alms to the poor, helping someone else, helping someone who is drowning in their sea because they were walking on water and they saw the storm around them and they started to sink. And so we, as Christians, are there to come and pick them up and put them back on their feet and say, walk. Walk with me and we will both walk to Christ together, who is there coming towards us and waiting for us to come to him. These are the things that help us stay focused and help us ignore the distractions that are around us. So again, with all the distractions in the world, and there are many, and I only named us a couple, and there are many, many more in our lives and in this world today, it is my hope that we use these three things, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, to stay focused on Christ. But along with staying focused on Christ, we also ignore the storms around us. Because as strong as the winds may be, as heavy as the rain may be, and as intense as the lightning may be, Christ is standing there on the sea, doing the impossible, walking on water. And he is calling each of us, you too walk on the water. You too come to me. And when we are able to walk on the water, nothing, and I mean nothing, will be impossible for us. Just as Christ said this, and just as the angel said, nothing is impossible for God. Likewise, staying focused on Christ will keep us walking on water and bring us to Christ, our salvation. Thank you.